Psalm 101 in your Bibles tonight. This is not awkward at all, okay? It's not. Psalm 101 in your Bibles. Okay. I hope this works. Psalm 101, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 101, and we'll begin reading in the first verse here tonight. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 101, verse number 1, it says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in the perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Let's pray, Lord. Thank you again for this night. God, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for these people, this church, Lord, what it stands for and the work that is produced out of it every single week, Lord. I'm thankful for each person that, Lord, they give out tracts and they pray and they read your word, Lord, throughout the weeks, Lord. And God, we want to reach people and we want to make a difference in our community. We pray you would help us with that. And Lord, I pray that you would use the message tonight to strengthen us to that end. Lord, I pray you would forgive me of my sins and fill me with your spirit. Focus me on the scripture, Lord. And God, I do ask that you would, God, help your word to be very clear and understandable tonight, Lord. Whatever the truth is that you want to get across to us, help it to be very evident. And God, whatever you want us to do with it, God, we pray that that would just be very apparent to our hearts and to our minds. God, that there would be no question about it, no mistaking about it, that we would know that you spoke to us and what we need to do about it. And God, we pray that we would obey it. And Lord, we pray you would bless every person that came tonight. We're thankful that they're here. We pray again that you would bless, Lord, the Webb family and their situation. And Lord, we just ask that you would just undertake in a great way for them. But God, we need you to speak to our hearts tonight. We didn't come here for no reason, Lord. We came here to hear from you. And God, I certainly can't do that, but I know that you can. I pray you would show up in a great way. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. In Psalm 101 here, what's going on is David is writing in this passage. He's basically outlining the decisions that he'll make as king to ensure that he and his nation remain in right standing with God. So he goes through and he lists out these different decisions that he'll make as king. Verse number one, he says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. By the way, when you sing of mercy and judgment, there's only of one person that you sing to, and that's God. Because nobody else has that mixture. Nobody else has that combination making up their character. Only God has that. He says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Basically saying, I will praise the Lord. I'm going to let people, let it be known whom I serve and what my God is all about. And David wasn't ashamed of it. We get to verse number 2. He says, I will behave myself wisely in the perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. He's saying, these are some of the decisions that I'm going to make as king to ensure that my life and my nation remain in a right standing with God. We get to verse 3, though, and he's referring to more of the personal side of this. As he shows in these verses, these words, when he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I believe David's saying in the personal side, he's saying, listen, I don't want to get off. By the way, if you don't want your family to get off, you don't get off. If you don't want your church to get off, you don't get off. If you don't want your ministry to get off track, you don't get off track. Listen, you know how that happens? That happens by us every day meeting with God and communing with him one-on-one. He that abideth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, you better find that secret place every day with God and say, God, I need your help for the different challenges and struggles that you face, because you can't handle it alone. Neither can I, but God can. Amen. And it's all about that. And he says, listen, in this verse, I don't want to fall. I don't want to mess up. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. And I believe what David is saying here, he's saying, I'm going to teach you how to keep from falling. I believe all of us in this room tonight, you want to have victory at the end of your race. Listen, I don't think anybody gets saved or gets started out in the Christian life and say, oh, I can't wait for the first temptation to come so I can fall to it. No, nobody does that. Nobody gets saved or gets moving for God and then says, man, I can't wait for the first trial to come so I can roll out on God. Nobody says that. But you know, with as many people as do quit, it almost seems that way sometimes. I'm not trying to be harsh, but I'm trying to be truthful. Right. And with as many people that fall off, as many people that quit, as many people that throw in the towel and that give up the race, it almost seems like it sometimes. Listen, we all want to have victory. I believe every person in this room, that I know, listen, I've seen you walk with God. I've seen you put forth the effort. I believe us, we all want to get to the end of our race with victory. Hey, I want that for my life. I want to be like Paul when he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Listen, I didn't back down. I didn't quit. I didn't give up. I ran it out. I want that. I'm sure everyone does in this room. But listen, don't get it mistaken. The devil's going to attack you. He's going to assault you. He's going to ambush you. He's going to come after you, throw everything in the kitchen sink after you to get you to quit. And the sad thing is, with so many people falling around us, sometimes we think it's inevitable that we're going to fall. Listen, we've all had people that we're close to that they give up, they quit, they slack off. They don't do what they once did for the Lord, and it's discouraging. You think, man, with the devil coming after me and with this world getting worse and worse and with society going downhill and all these troubles that I face and these people that I love and I'm close to, they're stepping away from God. What am I to do? What are we to do tonight, Woodlawn? What are we to do? Just as by way of introduction, let me say a couple things real quick. First of all, you need to realize you don't have to fall. You need to realize you don't have to fall. Listen, you don't have to fall. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care those people on the job. I don't care those difficulties you face. You don't have to fall. Neither do I. But we see it all around us so much, we think, well, it's going to happen sooner or later. That's what a lot of teenagers think, Tut. Everybody else falls. All the other girls getting pregnant. All the other people smoking drugs. All the other people in gangs. I guess I'll just eventually do it. It doesn't work like that. Because you serve a God that's greater than that. Listen, you don't have to fall. The Bible says there had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You know what that means? We all face the same stuff. We all face the same stuff. It's common to man. But God is faithful. He's not going to suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Hold up. He's not going to suffer you. That means to allow you to be tempted above that you're able. You know what that's saying? God's not going to put too tough of a temptation on your back. That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. I wish we would live like that sometimes. Because the temptations we face, we act like they're too tough for us. Hey, I'm not saying we're saying, all right, temptation, here I come. You don't got a chance against me. I'm not saying you approach it in that manner. That's foolish. But I am saying, listen, every temptation we face, sometimes it may stagger you. Sometimes you may stumble. Sometimes it may knock you off your block a little bit. But you know what? You need to look up to God and say, God, you said you wouldn't give me too much for me to handle. God, get me through this one. I'm serious, folks. And if we would take that mentality with things, we would make it through a lot farther. A lot of us, we just give up. Well, that guy fell to that temptation. I guess I will too. Mm-mm. That's garbage. That's garbage. We shouldn't have that mentality. Listen, you serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. With man, it might be impossible. Not with God. With God, all things are possible. It's possible for you to lift up Christ with your life. It's possible for you to stand for God on your job. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible for you in a public school to live for Jesus. Come on. It's possible. It's possible for you in your neighborhood to have a testimony. It's possible for you to stay faithful when others fall. That's possible. You know why? Not because of your talent, not because of your ability, not because of your skill, not because of your personality, not because of your charisma, but because of your God. That's why. It's possible. And we need to believe that. And I want to believe that. Listen. He hasn't put too much on us. He hasn't put something too heavy for me to bear. You need to realize that you don't have to fall. But secondly, by way of introduction, you need to be encouraged because God's given us the solution, the answer, and the help that we need to make it through. I think this, to be honest, I've verse 3 here, I've memorized it and known it and reviewed it for years, but as I did it yesterday, praying for God to give me the right thing, this God taught me something out of this verse that I had really never seen before. And one thing led to another, and this is what God wanted me to preach on. I'm glad when God teaches you new things. That's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing when you read the Bible for years and maybe the same verse for years, but God shows you something new for me. I like that. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. But God's given us the answer, the solution, the help that we need. Listen, God knows how bad the world's getting. If I may just say this, Brother Joe's out of the room, I believe. God knows that the politicians ain't going to do nothing about it, most likely. Oh, yeah, I went there, okay? God knows that. God knows that the devil's coming after us. God knows that many of people that we have served God with have quit and fallen by the wayside. God knows that. God knows that. But you know what? I'm glad he doesn't leave us alone. I'm glad he doesn't leave us by ourselves to fend for ourselves. I'm glad that he doesn't just say, well, that's just how it is. You just got to tough it out now. He doesn't do that. He gives us the answer, the solution, and the help that we need. You know what that is? He gives us this message, how to keep from falling. How to keep from falling. Listen, again, you don't have to fall. You don't have to fall. Listen, if you got an excuse in your mind, well, Brother Tom, I got to fall just because of this or so-and-so or this situation. You see, you don't understand. Listen, you need to check out in the Bible when it says God's grace is sufficient for you. Check out what sufficient means. Check out what sufficient means. Look it up. Dictionary.com. It'll help you out, all right? Check it out. Sufficient. You know what it's saying? It's enough to do the job, whatever it may be. It's enough to help you in whatever case that you're in, whatever state that you're in. Listen, I don't care if you come from a rough neighborhood. I don't care if you've had some struggles in your life. I don't care if you've made some mistakes in your past. God's grace is sufficient for you and for me. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Listen, how to keep from falling. That's what David's talking about here. He's saying, listen, this is how to keep from falling. Listen, I've seen a lot of people come through this place, and I've seen a lot come and go. And I've seen some of the best of them fall. I've seen some of the best of them fall. And I don't say that in a happy manner. It breaks my heart. Listen, folks, I believe what I said a moment ago when I said I believe everybody in this room wants to have victory in their Christian life. I believe that. If you don't, you need to get your priorities straight, okay? Because I don't know why you're in the Christian life if you don't want to do something with it. Make it count. Make it count. But I believe that. But listen, just because you want it doesn't mean it's going to happen. How are we going to get there? How am I going to get there? Listen, God forbid, and I told God this afternoon, but God forbid that year after year God's allowed me to preach to the young people in different times in church. God forbid that something comes up in my future and I fall off track. I don't ever want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. I don't want everything that I said to seem like a lie or to seem like, well, I wonder if he was sincere back then. I don't want it to be like that. I don't want it to be like that, and you shouldn't want it to be like that. How dare we stand for God 5 years ago and we're sorry now? Amen. How dare that happen? Listen, the same God that was good to you 5 years ago is the same God tonight. And listen, that should be the same God that you get your strength and your energy. Listen, it's still in the Bible. Check it out. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do it and you can do it through his power. Listen, life is too much for you to handle and for me to handle, but not for him. It's not for him. Listen, how to keep from falling. Oh, man, we need this message tonight. How to keep from falling. Number one, I want you to see this. The dedication of what I see. The dedication of what I see. Verse number three, Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. David says, I'm not going to put anything in front of me that dishonors and disgraces God. The dedication of what I see. You know what he's saying in layman's terms? I'm not going to put junk in front of me. I'm not going to put garbage in front of my eyes. You know why? Because I want to lift up him with my life. Listen, the problem is so many times we say, yeah, I want to live for God. Yeah, I want to do what's right. But we don't really mean it. Because the way we live is totally contradictory. It's totally contrary to everything we say. Shouldn't be like that. Listen, the dedication of what we see. He says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I want you to see, first of all, about this. He's saying some things I can control. Get this. Some things I can control. When he says, watch me now. I feel like Brother Charlie. Watch me now. Listen, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. When he says, I will set it, I won't set any wicked thing before mine eyes, he has a choice about that. He's in control of that. You know where we encounter a lot of problems? Our own choices. Right. Oh, man, this wicked, nasty thing came on the TV. Who turned on the TV? You turned on the TV. Yeah. Don't set that in front of your eyes. A lot of the problems, there's some intentionality about this. There's some purposefulness about this. When he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, David says, if I can control it, I'm not going to put any wicked thing in front of me. Amen. How about you? How about you? How about you? Listen, TV? How about with our computer? Well, the guys mess up a lot with that one. Listen, all of us need to be careful with it. Be careful. Listen, do you allow things on that screen that you're ashamed when other people come in the room? Got news for you, buddy. God's in the room with you already. Amen. Listen, listen. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He's saying, listen, if I can control it, if I'm in charge of this thing, I'm not going to put it in front of me. On the TV, on the computer, how about my cell phone? Amen. Better be careful about what you're browsing through. Better be careful about those pictures that you allow into your mind. Right. Better be careful about the movies you watch. Amen. Listen, listen, I'm telling you, we allow these things that are edgy, and we think, well, we're not trying to be fanatical about this. We allow these things that are edgy into our life, and you know what it does? It squelches our fire, and it removes our standards little by little by little by little. And if you keep doing it year after year, guess what? Your standard is going to be about this big. I don't want that. I don't want that. Listen, you can watch stuff that's not filthy, not dirty. That's fine. But you better be careful about this edgy stuff. Listen, the movies we watch, the video games we play. Listen, these different areas. You know who's in control of all that? You. 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 Listen, and I know this is a touchy subject, but I'm just going to go for it. Listen, that's why I don't go to the movie theater. Amen. I don't go. I don't go. Because you know what? I don't know what's going to come on that screen. I have no clue. Well, it's rated this. Have you realized the ratings don't always tell you everything that's in the movie? Oh, it's rated PG. Whoa, I just heard a cuss word. Where'd that come from? Right? You been there before? So you're like, no, I've never been there. Yeah, whatever, okay? Exactly. Come on now. Listen, you go to that place, you have no control over what's going to go. You don't have a remote. You can't stop it. You can't stand up and say, this is ridiculous. Anybody with me? No, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that because you know what you're going to do? You're going to be embarrassed, and you're just going to sit there, and you're going to slouch down in your chair, and, oh, Lord, deliver me from this hour of temptation. You need to deliver yourself from the hour of temptation. You need to get out of there. I'm serious about that. You have no control over it, and you're just going to sit there and let your mind be more defiled and more defiled and more defiled and more defiled, and then you wonder why it's preaching time and your mind's wandering. Some of y'all don't like me. That's fine. That's fine. I'll tell you the truth, though. Listen, that's a standard I have for my life. And I would say it's wise to consider that for your life. That's all. That's all. Hope you like me again. Okay? Listen, but with your TV, your computer, and all these different areas, listen, you know what decides what comes on those screens? You do. Check out verse number 2. At the end of it, David says, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house. How about that? With a perfect heart. Huh. In the privacy of my own home, guess what? I'm still living for God. How about that? How about that? Listen, you know why? You know why we make such a big deal about these things, everyone? It's because mine eye affecteth my heart. By the way, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart messed up, your life messed up. Right. And that's connected to your eyes. So you better be careful about what you see. Some things you can control, but I would say other things you have to choose not to give in to. Listen, if a ill-clad woman walks by me, I can't, I'm not in control of that. But I do have the choice after I glance to say, whoa, to not look there anymore. I need to choose not to give in to that. I need to choose not to let it, to allow it in my life. I need to choose not to cave into it, to succumb to it, to let it further along. You know the problem? I was thinking about this afternoon. You know, I think a lot of times, all the devil, listen, by the way, the devil cannot make you sin. All the devil does is make sin look good. That's all he can do, okay? Yeah, he makes it look good. He makes it look appealing and attractive, but he cannot make you sin. You know, I was thinking about this earlier, though. You know what the devil does a lot of times? He just lights the spark. He just lights the fuse. We take care of all the rest. That's exactly how it is. You see something, you're out in the world, you see something, what does it do? It sparks your flesh on the inside. That fuse is lit, and it starts going. But you know what, Tut? When you're around other people, and usually the Lord plans it out to where there's another church person around, right? And you're struggling on the inside, you're raging on the inside. And they say, oh, hey, brother, how you? Oh, hey, what's going on, man? How's everything? Good. Hey, you still going to the church? Oh, yeah, I'm going to the church. And you're uncomfortable. Woo! You're struggling over there because you know you got something going on inside of you, but you won't do it in front of other people. But you know what we do? The devil lights the match. Then usually we have that struggle on the inside, and you know what we do? This happens a lot of times. You'll probably agree with me. You take it home, and you defile yourself. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. I believe in most cases, not every case, but in most cases, the devil lights the fuse, and then we take it from there. Guess what? The devil got you thinking about it, but you know who did all the rest? You. That's on us. You can blame it on whoever you want to, and in our society, they let you blame it on whoever you want to. But you know whose fault it is in God's eyes? Yours. Listen, when those other situations come that I'm not in control of, I need to choose not to give into it. I need to choose not to give into it. I don't need to further it along. Listen, the Bible tells us these things will happen. My son, if sinners entice thee, what does it say? Consent thou not. Don't give into it. I get frustrated with the teenagers sometimes because they say some nice person starts singing a worldly song that they shouldn't be singing in the first place. Okay? And then the rest of them start picking up on it, and hours later they're still singing it. I say, what are you singing? Why are you doing that? Well, they got it caught in my head. Well, maybe it's their fault for getting it caught in your head, but it's your fault for singing along. That's right. Nobody ran up to you and grabbed your lips and made you sing this. No, they didn't do that. You sang it yourself. And you listen, you know what that amounts to? You gave in to the temptation. That's all it is. Listen, in others, you need to choose not to give in to it. Listen, and I don't know if y'all had this thought in your mind, but I said David is the one that God inspired to write this verse. And we think, well, David's not really the one to learn from since he fell, you know, with Bathsheba, that whole thing. Why should I say, how to not fall, written by David? I'm not listening to that. Listen, he wrote it down under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. David messed up in his life, but God's truth is still true. David messed up. You know why he messed up? Because he didn't listen to the verse that he wrote. Listen, when he walked out on that balcony, he saw that woman bathing over there. You know what he should have done? He should have ran inside his house, locked the doors, pulled the shades down, pulled the curtains down, locked himself, pulled the deadbolt, done everything he could have, got down on his knees and said, God, help me. He didn't do that. He wasn't in control of that woman taking a bath over on the other housetop, but he was in control of everything from that point on. And David didn't handle himself too well, to say the least. Listen, if you're not careful, and God help us never get to this point, but if you're not careful, and you play around and you don't stay aggressive with your Christian life, you could end up doing things that you taught other people not to do. That could be you. That could be you. That's what David did. Sometimes you read through Proverbs and you think, all this wisdom that Solomon had, you ever found out what happened at the end of Solomon's life? He had his heart turned away after many wives. Whew. How could that happen? Because they didn't follow the advice of God. That's what happened. And listen, you can teach it, you can know it like the back of your hand, you can know it frontwards and backwards, but you better stay under the influence of it, under the power of it. You better get God and get his help every day, or you'll do some things that you taught other people not to do. I don't want to get to that point. I don't want to get to that point. Listen, there's some things we're in control of. There's some things that we can choose not to give into it or to further it along. And you know what those things are? They're corrupt things. Corrupt things. It says, I will set no wicked thing before my eye. Wicked thing. You know? Something that's wicked, it's corrupt, it defiles me. Listen, if you get done with a situation or a person you hang around or something you watch and you feel dirty on the inside, that's a sign you should get away from that. It defiles you, it's rotten, it tears me apart. How about this? It separates me from God. Listen, if you get done watching a show and you don't feel very close to God, you ought to think about considering not watching that show. I don't want things separating me from him. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. I've got to have him hear me. I've got to have him come through for my life because I can't make it. I've got to have his help. Listen, Isaiah says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God so that he will not hear your voice. That's what happens. Listen, when you get sin in the way, you're separated from God. Corrupt things, wicked things. How about Joseph when he was under temptation from Potiphar's wife. He ran out of there. Right before he did, though, he says, how can I sin and do this great wickedness against God? I like that. I like that. I like that. He brought God into the conversation. I like that. I like that. First thing, I'm not going to preach on that, but first thing he said to the woman is, you belong to my master. You don't belong to me. How about that? Don't covet. Belongs to somebody else. Private property. Not yours. That needs to be preached nowadays. That needs to be preached nowadays. It's not yours. Listen, there's some things that don't belong to you. You get your own. You leave that alone. And then he says, how can I sin and do this great wickedness against God? He turns the conversation upward and he says, forget about you, lady. It's not about how you look or how you come on to me or anything else. It's about I can't do this and mess up my relationship with him. That's what it's all about. If you would think like that, it would keep you out of a lot of trouble. Some things you can't control. Some things you have to choose not to further it along or give into it. Corrupt things is what we're talking about. And you know why? You know the purpose for it all? You're a Christian. You're a Christian. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. You're a Christian. Don't forget that. The apostles were called Christians first in Antioch. You know why they were called Christians? Because people watched their lives, scrutinized their lives, investigated them, and say, you know who those guys remind me of? Christ. I wonder if they say that about you on your job or in your school. Listen, everything we do should honor and glorify God. Whether you eat, drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You need to purpose in your heart like Daniel did that he wouldn't defile himself. You need to say in the midst of this cesspool world that we live in, I'm not going to defile myself. I got to move. How to keep from falling, number one, you need to have a dedication of what you see. Number two, get this one. You need to have a despising of their selections. A despising of their selections. You say, what are you talking about? Check out the verse. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Second part. This is what God showed me yesterday. I hate the work of them that turn aside. I hate the work of them that turn aside. Huh. The despising of their selections. I hate the work of them that turn aside. Notice when it says somebody that turned aside, they used to be faithful. They used to be in the way. They used to be doing what's right. Perhaps they used to be arm in arm with you, serving God. Shoulder to shoulder with you, serving God. They used to be faithful. They turned aside, though. They had some failure in their life. So they used to be faithful, but they had some failure in their life. We're not talking about they didn't look both ways before they crossed the street. This is a major failure, okay? This is a moral failure. This is some major failure. This is a doctrinal deviation. This is a big thing. And they fell off track. Now, how do we treat them? Because, folks, this is an awkward situation, right? How do you treat them? You don't agree with what they did, but how do you treat them? They used to be faithful. They had some failure. Subpoint number three here. You need to be friendly to them as a person. Be friendly to them. Be friendly to them. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if any one of you be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You need to be friendly to them. Listen. When people come here that have fallen off, that used to serve but don't anymore, be friendly to them. Be friendly to them. Don't look at them like, you lost your position here, buddy. Get out! No. Don't do that. Be friendly to them. You know what you should do? You should pray for them. You should treat them well. You should encourage them. You should encourage them. Say, man, good to see you back. Glad you're here. You should try to restore them. You should be friendly to them as people. However, we get to the part of the verse here. Get this. Look up here. He says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. This is what God showed me yesterday. He didn't say you hate the people that turn aside. What do you hate? You hate the work of them that turn aside. You hate the action that they did. You hate the decision that they made. You don't hate the people. Isn't that good? That's God showed me that. Listen, you don't hate the people, but you hate what they did. Listen, I'm friendly to the person, but I'm not in favor of their choice. Listen, I love you, man. I love you like a brother, but I hate the work that you did. I hate the decision that you made. I strongly disagree with what you chose to do. Listen, by the way, God doesn't lead people to do something against him. God, just to burst some more bubbles while I'm on a roll. Listen, God does not lead people from a Bible preaching church to a church that preaches mush God does not leave people in that. Well, you know, the Lord was just leading. Whatever. Uh-uh. Don't lie. Okay? Before Jesus knocks your teeth out. Okay? Listen. He does not lead you from a church that preaches the truth to a church that you just, everybody gets along and we just have a little talk and a little chat. You don't need a little talk. You don't need a little chat. You need the word of God preached right at you. That's what you need. That's what I need. I'm not in favor of your choice. I hate the work that you did. Listen, God doesn't lead people to quit church. God doesn't lead people to slack off. God doesn't lead people to cheat on their spouse. God doesn't lead people to do that. God doesn't lead people to have men quit on their family and roll out on them. God does not lead people to do that. But I'm not in favor of their decision. And you know the thing about it? Listen, when people lose their testimony, when they compromise, when they drop their standards, make unwise choices, and so on and so on. Listen, we should hate the decision that they made, but not the people. Listen, if somebody drops their standards, I say, man, I strongly disagree with what you did, but I love you as a person. You messed up. You fell off. Listen, I love you as a person, but the decision you made, bad, wrong. That needs to be the balance that we have here. You know what we need to realize? Nobody forced them to do it. Todd, I was talking about this Sunday. Nobody forced them to do it. I heard Brother Kenny make a statement. He said, the list of men that have signed my Bible that have lost their integrity is growing. Kenny Baldwin said this. But you know what he said? But none of them can say they had to. It's true. It's true. We don't think like that most of the time because we think, oh, man, the circumstances were just building and building, and, man, the devil just overpowered them. They chose to give in to it. Nobody forced them. Listen, none of them had to. They chose to do it. And you know the thing about it? Listen, let me back up a moment. The dedication of what I see, everything I see needs to honor and glorify God. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Second part, I despise their selections. I don't hate the people, but I hate the choices that they made. When people quit church, man, I'm not happy about that. I disagree very strongly with the choices they made, but I love the person. But listen, no one forced them, as we said, but you know what ultimately it does? It honors our foe. It honors our foe. It honors the devil. I don't want to do that with my life. Listen, when people lose their integrity, when they mess up, when you hear these big-name preachers that mess up and throw their ministry away, you know who that honors and that lifts up and that glorifies? The devil. That's why, honestly, I mean, I'll talk to about people I'm close with, but I don't, when I hear about those things, I'm not running around to tell everybody about them. Honestly, I want to keep it as concealed as we can, keep a lid on it as much as we can. If you don't need to know, you shouldn't know, in my opinion, because I'm not happy about that. You know what it's like? I always think of this, and this is so stark for me, but I always think of Samson. We know Samson that killed all the Philistines and all this, but right before his last hour of his life, you know what he was? He was a trophy in the enemy's hand. Now, I know the end of the story that God worked it out, and he killed more in his death than his life. I get all that. But I never want to get to that point where I'm a trophy in the devil's hand. I don't want to get there. Because you know what they did? They brought Samson. Hey, bring Samson out. Bring him out here. The big champion of the Israelites. Bring him over here. And they're laughing and mocking him. And you know what it says back in Judges 16? That they praised their gods, little g, because they had delivered, that the gods had delivered Samson into their hands. Whew. That's disgraceful. With the God that we serve. Listen, after Saul got killed and David is mourning over it, this is 2 Samuel chapter 1. You know what he says? Publish it not in Gath. Tell it not in Ashkelon. Those are Philistine cities. You know what he's saying? Don't spread the word about Saul getting killed because that honors our enemy. I don't want that to happen. Amen. Listen, when somebody else falls, you ought to pray about it. If there's certain people that need to know, you tell them. But besides that, cut it off. Cut it off, because that honors our foe. That honors our enemy. I don't want that. Hey, may it never be. May it never be with your family, with your life, with your testimony, with whatever ministry that you have, that one day the devil can hold you up as a trophy in his hand and say, look what I conquered. He said he served the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at him. He's nothing. I don't want that. And folks, you better take that dead seriously, or you could end up there. That scares me. I don't want to get there. You know, with these people that I despise their selections, by God's grace, I'm not going to follow their choice. listen, man, you messed up. I love you as a person, but you messed up. I hate the decision that you made. I'm not going to follow that choice. I'm going to go the complete opposite direction. And then the last thing, everyone, this will be quick. How to keep from falling. The dedication of what you see. The despising of their selections. Listen, we don't hate the people, but we hate the choices they made. We hate the work of them that turn aside. And then the last thing, number three, you need to make a decision to sever it. Make a decision to sever it. Listen, he says at the end of the verse, it shall not cleave to me. The temptations, the sins, it shall not cleave to me. Cleave means to hold on to cling to latch on to. He's saying, I'm going to make a decision that it won't hang on to me. You know how this happens? This will be quick. But you know how this happens? You need to cast it down. Just because you heard a message on how to keep from falling doesn't mean the devil's not going to try to get you to fall. Okay? Oh, yeah, I heard that Wednesday night. I'm good. Listen, the devil's going to come after you tomorrow, if not tonight. Okay? He's coming after you. He don't care. He'll come after you. How do we keep from letting it latch onto us? First of all, you got to cast it down. Cast it down. Listen, how can I keep from it holding onto me, cleaving onto me? You got to cast it down. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what that means? When you get a bad thought, cast it down. Amen. Cast it down. Get it out of there quickly. Because you know what? Those thoughts will build and grow. And before long, you're acting on it. You're speaking on it. You're doing something. You think, what in the world? All started from that nasty thought. Get rid of it. At the end of Proverbs 4:27, it says, remove thy foot from evil. Get out of there. Get out of there. Don't play around with it. The devil doesn't play games. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to take you down. Don't play games with him. You think just because you quote unquote got away with it before that you can do the same thing now. You didn't get away with it before, and you won't get away with it now. If you're playing with sin, you're playing with fire, you will get burned. Cast it down. Another thing, confess it. Okay, you mess up, you fall down, what do? Confess it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, you know what confess means? It means to say the same thing about it as God does. It means to agree with him, to align your perspective with him. What it's not is this, well, God, you know I made some mistakes. And you gloss over it. That's not it. When you confess your sins, you come clean. You paint the whole ugly picture before God. And you say, God, that's what I did. That's why I did it. God, I am messed up. If you do that, then God will cleanse your sin. God will forgive you from all unrighteousness. God will take it away. And I'm glad about that. And by the way, he says he's faithful. That means every time you go to him, he'll take care of it. And he says he's just. That means he'll do what he said he would do. I'm glad for that. He keeps his promises. Listen, you may have messed up, but that doesn't mean God writes you off. That means you need to go and get those sins taken off so you can go serve him again. Cast it down. Confess it. Another thing, you need to replace it. I call that compensating for it. Listen, the Bible talks about be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Listen, when you get in the Word of God, you know what it does? It takes away those wicked thoughts and it puts in the right thoughts. You know what happens? Shockingly, when you read the Bible, it exalts Christ. You know what happens when you read the Bible? It tells you to do right. You know what happens when you read the Bible? It tells you to love other people. It encourages you. It gives you the right stuff that you need. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Ephesians 4 talks about put off, put on. There are certain things you need to get rid of. Lying and cheating and all these different things and tearing down people with your words. Get rid of those things. What do you put in their place? All the virtues that God tells you. You need to replace it. You need to compensate for it. And then the last thing is this. Concentrate on growing. Listen, you don't want to fall? Grow. Grow. Because you can't be going forward and going backwards at the same time. Either one or the other. If you're not moving, what do they say? If you're not moving forward, you're moving backward. Are you moving forward? When's the last time you've grown? In your knowledge? In your labor for the Lord? In your passion for him? When's the last time you've grown? Has it been a while? You better check yourself. You might be backsliding. Oh, I'm still in church. Not for long. If you're not careful, I'm serious. Concentrate on growing. Listen, in 2 Peter 1, it gives us a whole list of things we need to grow on. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, brotherly kindness, all these different things. Charity, all these different lists that we need to grow on and check ourselves on. And then it says if you continue to work on those things, at the end of this passage there, it says if you do these things, ye shall never fall. That's some confidence right there. You know, if you're growing, you can be confident. Listen, we don't have to walk around scared that we're going to fall. Oh, the devil's going to come after me today, and I have no chance. No, you have a chance. God's on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? But you got to be growing. You know the problem? Here's the problem. We get lazy as Christians. We haven't grown in who knows how long. We haven't invested ourselves in anybody. We haven't really cared, to be honest, just to be very frank about it, for a long time. And then the devil sets us up for the kill, and we got no chance. That's how it works. But if you will stay in it, if you will stay passionate, if you will keep pushing yourself, even when you start to get lazy, you say, no, and you keep keeping the pedal to the metal with this thing, listen, you won't fall. You won't fall. But that's up to you. Folks, as I said earlier, I think all of us, we want to win our race. We want to be victorious. By the way, those verses that we quote and the songs that we sing, victory in Jesus, and, you know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, that's not just stuff that we're supposed to say. You realize we're supposed to demonstrate those things? I'm done. I know I'm preaching long, but listen. Get this thought. I thought of this earlier. If you were the only Christian that a person ever knew, what would they think about Christianity? Think about that. If you were the only Christian that this person ever knew, what would they think about Christianity? Would they think it's okay for some people, but you know, you get to a certain point and it's kind of weak? Is that what they would think by watching your life? What would they think? Would they think it's okay to hit and miss, to be unfaithful by watching your life? Hey, we could go on and on with that. I don't need to. But think about that. Listen, those things should be demonstrated. When we sing victory in Jesus, it's not just to get, okay, everybody needs to sing now. You need to live that. Amen. I need to live that. People need to look at our lives and say, you know what? He's getting victory over sin and victory over temptation. Man, he's living a victorious Christian life, reaching people. That's victory in Jesus. It's not just our salvation, although that's the main thing, the main cog of this whole wheel here. But there needs to be other areas in where that manifests itself to where we truly have victory in Jesus. Man, I want that. I hope you do as well. Listen, we want victory at the end of the line. But there's a lot of things that are going to be between here and the finish line. How do we get there? Well, I think God gives us some help here by saying, here's how to keep from falling. I hope it was a blessing to you. Listen, don't set any wicked thing before your eye. Hate the work, not the people, of them that turn aside. And don't let it cleave to you. Cast it down. Confess it. Get rid of it quickly. And concentrate on growth. Compensate for it. If you do those things, listen, you can make it through. How to keep from falling. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this night. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word and preach once again. Thank you for this church, what it stands for. I pray you would bless the message, Lord, that was preached. Lord, I pray that, God, you would help us all to listen to it, to heed it, to obey it. Lord, I pray you'd help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. Lord, bless this quick invitation that we'll have before we dismiss. We thank you, Lord, for this night. In Jesus' name, you can stand to your feet.